Good morning and welcome to 5 at 8. It's Thursday, April 4th, 2024. And with me here is Linda Carlisle. I'm Mark Overman. And here are the day's top stories. In this episode, we will talk about U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken facing issues with a Boeing jet, the EU investigating Chinese solar panel makers, the White House outlining plans for a time standard on the moon, Treasury Secretary Yellen discussing economic issues with China, and a software engineer discovering a potential cyber attack backdoor. Story number one. In a report from CNN, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken faced issues with a Boeing jet for the second time this year, forcing him to travel by car between Paris and Brussels for talks on Ukraine and Gaza. The incident has raised concerns about the safety and quality of Boeing planes, following other recent incidents with the company's aircraft. Is it just me, Linda, or does it seem like Boeing is hitting one snag after another these days? I mean, now, even the Secretary of State Antony Blinken is affected. This is the second time this year that his journey got disrupted due to problems with a Boeing plane. What's going on here?
Well, Mark, you're absolutely right. It seems that Boeing has been facing a series of setbacks recently. The latest incident with Secretary Blinken's plane is certainly not a good sign for the company's reputation. It's important to note that these incidents may not necessarily be indicative of a systemic issue with all Boeing jets, but they do raise questions about the quality and safety controls within the company.
Yeah. You're right. And it's not just an inconvenience, right? I mean, these are high-ranking officials we're talking about. This could pose significant operational disruptions for governmental and diplomatic missions. What do you think Boeing needs to do to get back on track?
Great point, Mark. I think first and foremost, Boeing needs to conduct thorough investigations into these incidents and take corrective actions as needed. The company must reassure its customers and the public that it is taking these issues seriously and is committed to improving its safety standards. Additionally, this could also be an opportunity for Boeing to reassess its quality control processes and make necessary improvements. It's crucial for the company to regain the trust of its stakeholders.
Trust is so important, especially in an industry like aviation where safety is paramount. But I wonder, what kind of an impact do incidents like these have on the broader aviation industry? Are there lessons here for other aircraft manufacturers as well?
These incidents serve as a reminder for all players in the aviation industry about the critical importance of maintaining rigorous safety and quality standards. Every manufacturer should be taking note and ensuring that they are doing everything in their power to avoid similar issues. This isn't just about Boeing, it's about the entire industry's commitment to safety and reliability.
Story number two. The European Union is investigating Chinese solar panel makers for potential unfair competition due to foreign subsidies. This comes as part of broader concerns about China's state support for its industries, such as electric vehicles and biodiesel. Solar panels are crucial for Europe's transition to clean energy, and the EU is considering imposing tariffs on Chinese imports if dumping is confirmed. China, on the other hand, is focused on exporting more electric vehicles, solar panels, and lithium batteries. According to CNN, this investigation highlights ongoing tensions between the EU and China over trade practices. Has it struck you too, Linda, how this recent EU probe into Chinese solar panel manufacturers seems to echo past trade squabbles? Just as with the earlier allegations over electric vehicle makers and biodiesel dumping, the crux of the issue revolves around state subsidies and market distortions. It's like deja vu all over again.
History repeats itself, as they say. And this isn't just about the present moment, is it? These trade tensions have a broader historical context. For decades, the balance of global trade has been shifting, with China's manufacturing sector growing rapidly and becoming a formidable competitor for Europe and other regions. So this probe is a manifestation of long-standing issues.
Yeah, it's like a high-stakes game of chess, isn't it? On one hand, you got the EU trying to protect its local industries from what they perceive as unfair competition. On the other hand, you've got China pushing hard to export their new trio of products. It's a classic case of protectionism versus free trade, and it's hard to predict how this is going to play out.
And let's not forget the environmental angle here. Solar panels are pivotal to the global transition to clean energy. So this isn't just about trade and competition. It's also about how we can cooperate to tackle climate change and achieve our sustainability goals. We need to find a way to balance the economic and environmental aspects.
Right, Linda. And you know, this just goes to show how complex and interconnected the world of global trade really is. I mean, take China's response, for instance. They're not taking this lying down. They've launched their own anti-dumping investigation into brandy imports from the EU. It's like a round of tit for tat, and I can't help but wonder where it's all going to lead.
It's a cycle of retaliatory measures that doesn't seem to have an end. But we must remember, in the midst of all this, the impact on ordinary people and businesses. It's not just about big corporations and governments. It's also about workers, consumers, and small businesses who bear the brunt of these trade tensions. We need to keep them in mind as we navigate these tricky waters.
Story number 3. The White House has outlined plans to establish a time standard for celestial bodies other than Earth, starting with the Moon by December 2026. The Unified Time Standard, known as Coordinated Lunar Time, LTC, is needed due to time moving faster on the Moon compared to Earth. This standardization is crucial for scientific discovery, economic development, and international collaboration in space exploration. Other countries and private companies are also increasing their presence in space, making a unified time standard essential for future missions. According to Washington Post, this initiative aims to streamline operations and improve coordination in space exploration efforts. Might just be me, but this move to establish a coordinated lunar time? Fascinating stuff, isn't it? It's really a testament to how far we've come, not just in terms of space exploration, but also in terms of our understanding of fundamental physics. The fact that time moves differently depending on where you are in a gravity field, it's mind-blowing if you think about it.
It's as if we're seeing Einstein's theories of relativity playing out right before our eyes. The idea that time runs faster on the Moon than it does on Earth, it's like something straight out of a science fiction novel. But it's reality, and it's going to have major implications for our future in space.
Exactly. And this isn't just about setting up a lunar clock. This is about setting the stage for an enduring human presence on the Moon. Think about it. With NASA's Artemis program aiming to send astronauts back to the Moon for the first time in over 50 years, it's a whole new era of lunar exploration that we're stepping into.
And it's not just the United States that's aiming for a greater presence in space. China, Russia, India, Japan, and other nations are ramping up their space programs. And let's not forget the private companies that are developing initiatives to send commercial spacecraft to the Moon. There's a competitive landscape out there, and it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
It's almost like the new space race, isn't it? But what's different this time around is that we're not just racing to get there. We're racing to stay there. And to do that, we're going to need to figure out a way to live and work in an environment where time itself functions differently. Now that's a challenge.
And it's a challenge that's going to require international collaboration. As the White House memo pointed out, a unified time standard will be foundational to these efforts. It's going to be crucial for things like spacecraft docking, data transfers, and communication. We saw chaos in the early days of international travel on Earth when we didn't have time zones. Imagine that on a cosmic scale.
A cosmic scale. Now that's something to wrap your head around. But you're right, Linda. This isn't just about science and technology. It's about diplomacy and cooperation. It's about finding common ground, or should I say common time, in a place where the rules of time as we know them don't apply. Now that's something to look forward to. Story number 4. In a report from the New York Times, Treasury Secretary Yellen is traveling to Guangzhou and Beijing with a press delegation this week to discuss economic issues with Chinese counterparts. Despite progress in establishing dialogue, thorny economic issues like green energy technology exports and investment barriers still divide the two countries. Yellen emphasized the importance of fair trade and investment practices, but also hinted at possible new trade actions against China to protect the clean energy sector. Could you imagine, Linda? Yellen is out there in China trying to mend fences, but I've got to say, I can't help but feel like she's fighting an uphill battle. The economic ties between our countries are undeniably strong, but there's an increasing sense of imbalance, don't you think?
Well, Mark, I hear you. And while it's true that the economic relationship between China and the U.S. is complex, I believe that Secretary Yellen's efforts are crucial. Dialogues and negotiations are the backbone of diplomacy. The issues are thorny, no doubt, but avoiding them isn't going to make them vanish.
Sure, dialogue is important, but so is action, Linda. Yellen's comment about potentially taking new trade actions against China, that caught my attention. The U.S. is trying to grow its clean energy sector, and China's aggressive green tech exports, well, they're becoming a hindrance.
Mark, you're not wrong. But let's not forget, the world is interconnected. China's green tech exports could potentially contribute to global efforts against climate change. Plus, shouldn't we be encouraging healthy competition? It's a catalyst for innovation.
Healthy competition? Sure, but it's got to be a level playing field, Linda. But hey, let's see how this pans out. It's like a high-stakes chess game, and we're all just waiting for the next move.
It's a delicate dance of diplomacy and economic strategies. But remember, it's not just about winning. It's about progress and finding common ground for the benefit of both nations and the world at large.
Story number 5. In a report from the New York Times, Andreas Freund, a software engineer at Microsoft, discovered a backdoor in a piece of software that could have led to a major cyber attack. His finding has been hailed by tech leaders and cybersecurity experts, with many calling him a hero. The incident highlights the importance of the work done by volunteer programmers who maintain the internet's infrastructure. Do you ever just pause and marvel at the marvel that is the internet, Linda? We take it for granted, but it's a complex beast, isn't it? I was reading about this guy, Andreas Freund, who practically saved the internet from a major cyber attack. We owe a lot to these unsung heroes, don't we?
The internet, as we know it, is a product of countless hours of labor by volunteer programmers who maintain and fix the bugs in open-source software. And as you mentioned, Andreas Freund's recent discovery of a potential backdoor in the Linux operating system is a perfect example of their critical contribution. It's not just about keeping the internet running smoothly, but also protecting it from potentially catastrophic cyber threats.
It's mind-blowing when you think about it, that the internet, which contributes trillions to the global GDP, essentially depends on the dedication of people like Freund. And you know what got me? The fact that he found the back door while doing what was for him routine maintenance work. It just goes to show, doesn't it? The devil is in the details.
Indeed, it does. And it's worth noting that open source software, like the Linux operating system, is a collective effort. It's not just about one person's contribution, but the cumulative work of many. Each individual's work, however small it might seem, adds up to create this massive digital infrastructure that we all rely on.
And let's not forget the role of organizations in this. Microsoft, where Freund works, is a major player in the tech industry. Do you think they have a responsibility to support and promote this kind of essential work?
Certainly, Mark. Companies that benefit from the use of open-source software have a responsibility to support its development and maintenance, not just by employing individuals like Freund, but also by contributing to the community in other ways, such as funding or providing resources. It's a symbiotic relationship, really. The companies benefit from the software, and the software benefits from their support.
It's a delicate balance, but a crucial one. And on that note, I think we should all take a moment to appreciate the Andreas Freunds of the world. They might not be in the limelight, but they're the ones keeping the wheels turning behind the scenes.
Their work goes beyond just maintaining the internet. They're safeguarding our economies, our societies, indeed our way of life. And for that, they deserve our utmost appreciation and respect.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.